A few people, share with us, why are you blessed at Christmas time? Who could share that with us? A few people.
I'm blessed because the Savior came and invited me into the kingdom with him.
Amen.
And I accepted that and did it. Oh, it was 1962, May 19th, in fact.
Wow.
I was born again.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
Amen. Very, very good. Yes, Dean?
You know, since Christ was born, the world has changed, and changed for the good.
Amen, buddy. Amen. He's the one who brings any goodness and hope in life, isn't he? What a great Savior. Who else? Anyone else? Why are you blessed at Christmas time?
We're blessed all the time. We
are indeed. We are indeed.
It's just a time when one realizes what Christianity has done for the world. It's love. As we progressed 2,000 years, from where we used to slave people and eat them and kill them.
Yeah.
To the point, the United States, after the Second World War, rebuilt its enemies. And that is Christian love.
Praise God.
We're here to bring Jesus to the world, aren't we?
Yes.
Good news. Remember when you were a kid and the whole world of imagination was open to you? Remember, then you started to get older and the world became somehow a lot more black and white, it seems like. And many times, imagination gets squeezed out of a real world. Wasn't it only kids could see Peter Pan? Wasn't that true?
Yeah.
Only kids could see Peter Pan. Some of you aren't even acknowledging you ever read Peter Pan. I see that in your face this morning. I don't want to grow up not staying so sophisticated in heart was kind of the message about that story. So abrasive about life and about people that you're missing the fun or the innocent. How many remember the days where, you know, television was young or maybe not even fully on the scene yet? How many remember those days? Wow. Okay, we won't go on with that. Anyway, but you remember, I was in radio broadcasting, and you remember the stories told on radio. You remember listening to, what were your favorite stories? What were they? Do you remember? The Green Hornet, or
the Shadow.
Who else?
I Love a Mystery.
I Love a Mystery. Pepper Young's Family. Pepper Young's Family. I don't remember that one. I'm sorry. At what time? Oh, very good, man. This person knows who. Yes? Fibbermingy and Molly. Who else? Who else?
The Shadow Knows.
The Shadow Knows.
Amos and Andy.
Amos and Andy. Yeah, yeah. What was it?
Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Boy, wait. Okay, and in closing, we're having fun. But you know, wasn't it different, the imagination required? I mean, these stories danced in your head, didn't they? You know, television takes a lot less imagination. How many remember when you would listen to somebody like Paul Harvey on the radio and how disappointed you were when you saw what he really looked like? Because that wasn't anything what you thought he looked like. Imagination. Being able to see. You know, we've got CGI, computer generated graphics that are so cool, and galaxies open up, and it's incredible what the mind can imagine that can be seen this morning. But my question for you is, have you seen God? Have you seen Him? Do you want to? We grow so mature, so sophisticated, so sharp, so intelligent, so wealthy, so distracted and materialistic that we forget about the message. John 3:16, for, say it with me please, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. And He came for you in the form of a little baby. Do you see Him? Do you want Him? Do you want to see God? The Gospels, the four Gospels, were written for different people groups. That's why there's a little bit of a different slant on each of them. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospel, which means along one theme. There, you'll find a lot of the same stories. Sometimes they don't have the same stories, but they're written to a different group of people. The book of Matthew, remember, who was Matthew? A Jewish tax collector. And he was writing specifically to the Jewish people so they could understand that Jesus was their Messiah. Because Jesus didn't come like the Jews expected him to come. The Messiah didn't look like they thought he should look. He was supposed to be a conquering king. And the Romans were horrific. We shared a little bit about this last week. The Romans were terrible occupiers in their land. And the people weren't seeing God, even though they were supposed to be God's people. They wanted to get rid of Him. They weren't seeing Him. But in Matthew 5, we come to one of the most important teachings of Jesus. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in there, He gives us some really crucial keys to having vital relationship with God and even seeing Him. Pat, if you could put these up, if you want to turn in your own scriptures to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. Matthew 5, 3 through 8, and I'm reading primarily from the New King James Bible this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And please read verse 8 with me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now let me refer back with a different version to a couple of these verses. Verse 3 out of the Message version. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and His rule. Anybody ever been at the end of your rope? Thank God you didn't hang, right? Yeah. The end of your rope. Verse 3 out of the New Living. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, just about everything Jesus says in this section, though we may be familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, the context is everything He's teaching flies in the face of what religious teachers of the day are teaching. The big shot religious teachers of the day were gathering followers after themselves, and they were getting rich off of them, and they were demanding recognition, puffing themselves up and being boastful. And then Jesus comes with this kind of message. Hard to win big crowds at church with this kind of message. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Wait a minute, I thought I was supposed to be rich. Verse 3 really says, God blesses those who realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. Verse 5 means that God deals preciously with the gentle and lowly. That doesn't mean a bunch of wimps, but people not full of themselves. How many know today that the God of the world is self? Come on, isn't that true? The God of the world is self. I gotta be me. You know, and every magazine, you know, billions are spent on the self-help industry. And so God is self. I mean, you know, that's what people may worship, but it's not true. You're never going to have enough in yourself to answer the desperate cry of your heart. You may not say it, but on the deep part on the inside that only you know, there's a cry. And God knows exactly how to fill you. Verse 8 says this, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Now that's referring in the Greek to people who are morally pure and honest and sincere and people of integrity and single-minded commitment to God. And because of their single-hearted devotion to Christ, they will see God through the eyes of faith. Not duplicitous. Not trying to bend God to their own shape. But sincerely saying, God, I humble myself. I need You. I reached that place in my own life. Anybody else? Where I have to hit my knees and I say, God, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do in this situation. Lord, I need You. Help! Come on, you say that real loud with me? Help! turn to each other and say, you know, you need help. Now you can look at each other and say, but I love you anyway. Because we're all in the same boat. God, you look at a verse like that. Come on, does anybody think like me? I'll never be that pure. How am I ever going to get there? By Him. By His grace. By His cleansing blood. The truth is, you can see Him too. Now I want you to turn to each other and say that. You can see Him too. Now turn to the other person on the other side of you. Say it again. You can see Him too. All right, let's look at the backdrop. The backdrop of the birth of Christ. Let's just quickly go over some things so you understand context. At the time of Jesus' birth, Israel is in horrible shape. But they were looking, the priests and the learned people of the day were looking to Daniel's prophecies in the Old Testament. There had not been prophecy for 400 years. The intertestamental period between the Old Testament and the New, it was silent. No prophecy. And people who were familiar with Daniel's prophecies of the 70 weeks were saying around 10 BC or so to 4 BC, the Messiah is going to come. The Messiah is going to come. Life in Israel was horrific. They were brutal overlords of the land. Multitudes of people were being killed, babies being slaughtered, people being crucified. The Jews were suffering horribly. In the olden times, nobody walked around claiming to be the Messiah. But when Jesus came, hundreds of people were walking around claiming to be the Messiah. And they were gathering followers after themselves. And they were teaching and they were trying to get rich from them. And all sorts of things were happening. They literally hated the Roman Empire, so their perspective was, this Messiah who's going to come is going to deliver us and kick the Romans out from our country. We'll reign again. Jewish babies, children, mass murdered by Herod. Then all of a sudden Herod dies. Chaos in the land and revolt against the Romans, and the Romans crush with blows on the Jews again. And even in the midst of the suffering, the religious leaders and the people as a whole, especially the religious leaders, aren't found saying, help me, God. I need help. You see, if you want to see God in the midst of your need, you need to be willing to humble yourself and say, I need help. Can you raise your hands with me and say, Lord, I need help. Now turn to each other and say, like I said, you really do. Parents in the room, have your hearts ever hurt when your kids hurt? Of course you do. And God was looking as a father on His nation of people that He loved so much, and His heart grieved and hurt. And He said, okay, it's time. It's time. Mary and Joseph see Him. God comes to a girl named Mary, and she literally is a girl, probably between the ages of 12 to 14 years of age. Precious spirited enough to welcome God, even though He didn't come like she thought He should. An angel tells her, you're going to bear a baby. Even though you have not known a man, not had intercourse with a man, you're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and His name shall be Jesus, the Emmanuel. And though she doesn't get it, she is humble enough and tender enough before God to say, my life may not make sense, but be it unto me, Lord, according to your will. Simple, loving, loyal, believing. Then there's Joseph, who says yes to being the father of a little boy who wasn't his own. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, meaning Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife, did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus, a spiritual, sincere, non-duplicitous, humble, believing man of God, obeyed God. Others presumed the worst of them. Gossip. Maliciousness against them. Unholy, unclean. But Joseph and Mary see God. Remember Hebrew customs for marriage in those days. The Bible says they were husband and wife, but what it really means, it says he was betrothed to her. There was a period of a year after the arrangement was made that they would be husband and wife. The wife stayed in the home of her parents for 1 year before they could consummate their marriage. And if she was found with child during that time, the marriage could be annulled, she was unclean, and maybe he was as well. And Mary was found to be with child. It was a horrific thing. Rejection, gossip, maliciousness. As a young kid, just simply wanting to obey God. Have you ever tried to obey God and things didn't always go perfectly? She'd been promised favor, but the favor came at a price. Who sees God? Those who are needy enough to want Him. God had a plan. 700 years before this time, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin shall be with child. Mary's pregnancy miraculously fulfilled the prophecy about Emmanuel. And that name means God with us. A census was called for. Even though Mary is 9 months pregnant, Joseph and she have to pack up and travel. She travels on donkey back to head to Bethlehem. Now get this picture, ladies. A little bit different than the birthing centers of today, eh? Every comfort imaginable. She's on donkey back. Can you imagine that? Will you please watch the road? Would you please miss those bumps? For heaven's sakes, I'm pregnant here. And they go to Bethlehem. Dirty, dusty, long, hard trip. Not 4-lane highways. And the scripture declares in Luke 2, verses 4 through 7, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He had to go back to the house of his lineage for the census to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Would you read verse 6 with me, please? So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, most scholars agree that this was a shelter in the cave behind the house. They didn't have inns like Holiday Inn or the Sheraton in those days. They were undoubtedly put up in the place in the rock-hewn cave where the animals were. There was a ridge inside those places, just on the inside of the walls, around the wall of the cave, or an elevated platform along the interior of the stable that those who cared for the animals generally slept on. And somehow, being with those animals was just perfect for the Lamb of God. And Jesus was actually laid instead of a wooden manger. They don't have much wood over there. He was laid most likely in a stone feeding trough for the animals, possibly covered with some hay. And he's wrapped in these layers of cloth, swaddling clothes, layers of cloth that keep his limbs straight and provide a sense of loving security for the baby. And those formed his clothes for the first year of his life, his wrappings. If the baby in Israel at that day was born without swaddling clothes, it indicated it was a baby uncared for and abandoned. It was dark. It was dirty. It was smelly. But it sure wasn't abandoned. Dark, dirty, smelly. Just like some of our hearts that he comes into now, right? Now, don't turn to each other and say, that's you. I didn't ask you to do that. But you know, sin is that way. We think of sin, oh, I'm not a bank robber. Listen, it doesn't take much, according to the Scriptures. Doing what you shouldn't do, not doing what you should do, those are sin. And the remedy for sin is a Savior, Christ the Lord. So Joseph and Mary see him. You know, the shepherds see him too. Let's go to the next set of scriptures, Luke 2, 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, read it with me, would you please? These familiar verses are so fun to read together. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. All those who found it, or heard it rather, marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard as it was told them. The shepherds, listen, these are the folks who were looked down on by most people. They're not the ones on the throne, rich and pompous and glorious robes. They're not the ones who demand to be seen and satisfied and have their way. These are the guys with dew on their beards and stay out in the fields and birth the lambs and help them come into being. And they have no pretense of being high and mighty, but they got to see the Lamb of God. Immediately, they went to find the babe. And they found him. They went and spread the good news. Ever think to yourself, well, I'm not good enough for him. It's those who are needy enough for him who are the most grateful for forgiveness and mercy for the chance to see him. The shepherds see him. Even the Magi see him. You remember the Magi. Matthew 2 verses 1 through 11 tells us about the star and the Magi who came from the east following the star of Bethlehem, to worship the newborn king. And they check in with Herod about where the Messiah was to be born. And Herod is seething and insanely jealous. And he calls his wise men and the religious leaders and they say, where's the Messiah to be born? Remember the story? And they say, in Bethlehem. Now notice, the Magi, who weren't even from Israel, go to look for him. The religious leaders of Israel sat right in their homes and didn't get up to go look for him at all. The Magi, they were probably educated astronomers and wise men of Babylon, and they were undoubtedly influenced by Daniel as he was taken captive to Babylon and had seen Daniel's prophecies and about a star that would rise in Judah. They looked for it. And here's what we read, 9 through 11 of chapter 2 of Matthew. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. By the way, our little song has it incorrectly. This is now the young child. And so Jesus is now in a home. He's no longer in the cave. He's now in the house with Mary and Joseph. And he's probably 1 to 2 years of age when they come. It took them that long to follow and find him. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they did what? Please read it with me. Fell down. They came off their high horse, or their high camel, if you will, to worship God. When they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Unwrapped. The humble see God. Mary and Joseph. And let's see, there were the shepherds. And there were the magi. But you too can see him. You can see him too. This is Christmas time. This is the time we honor him. And the fact he humbled himself as a baby to come into our lives, into our world. The fact that he could feel what we felt as he grew to be a man who bore your sins and mine on himself. Sins separate us from God. And the Savior went to the cross because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He could feel what you feel. See what you see. Understand what you're going through, even if you haven't told anyone. He sees. What does it take to see him? Humble yourself. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be born in the inn of my heart and save me today, I pray. I love you, Lord, because the Bible says you first loved me. Let's say it again. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, he did what?
He gave.
He did what?
Gave.
Gift giving is all his idea, you see. Love the world that he gave. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A little girl went to her bedroom and she pulled a glass jelly jar from its hiding place in the closet. She pulled the change out and poured it on the floor and she counted it carefully. Three times, even. The total had to be perfect. Carefully placing the coins back in the jar and twisting on the cap, she slipped out the back door and she made her way down six blocks to Rexall's drugstore. Anybody remember? With the big red Indian chief sign above the door. She waited patiently for the pharmacist to give her some attention, which he was not doing. He was too busy for the little girl. She twisted her feet to make a scuffling noise. Nothing. She cleared her throat with the most disgusting sound she could muster. Nothing. Finally, she took her quarter from her jar and banged it on the glass counter. And that did it. What do you want? The pharmacist said to her, annoyed. I'm talking to my brother from Chicago, whom I haven't seen in years. Just give me some time here. Well, I want to talk to you about my brother. She answered back in the same annoyed voice. He's really, really sick. And I want to buy a miracle. I beg your pardon? His name is Andrew. And he has something growing inside his head. And my daddy says, only a miracle can save him now. How much does a miracle cost? Well, we don't sell miracles here, little girl. I'm sorry. I can't help you, the pharmacist said, softening his tone a bit. Listen, I've got the money to pay for it. If it isn't enough, I'll get the rest. Just tell me, how much does it cost? The pharmacist's brother, standing at the counter, was a well-dressed man. And he stooped down and he asked the little girl, honey, what kind of a miracle does your brother need? I don't know, she said, her eyes welled up with tears. I just know he's really sick. And mommy says he needs an operation, but my daddy can't pay for it. So I want to use my money. How much do you have, sweetheart? I have $1.11. It's all the money I have, but I can get more money if I need to. Well, what a coincidence. $1.11. The exact price of a miracle for little brothers. And he took her money in one hand, and he took her little hand in his big hand. He grasped her by the mitten, and he said, "Honey, tell me where you live, and let's go there. I want to see your brothers, and I want to meet your parents. Let's see if I have the miracle you need." Turns out that well-dressed brother from Chicago was Dr. Carlton Armstrong, a surgeon who specialized in neurosurgery, and this is a true story. And the operation was completed free of charge, and it wasn't long until Andrew was home again and doing well. Mom and Dad were found happily talking about the chain of events that had led them to this place. "That surgery," Mom whispered, "was a real miracle. I wonder how much it would have cost." Tess overheard and smiled. She knew exactly how much a miracle cost. $1.11. And the faith of a little child. You can see him too. The faith of a little child. Baby Jesus, born in a manger, laid in a stone trough, who grew to be the man who took your sins and mine, who's looking at you today saying, "Celebrate me." And if you don't know me, I'll show me myself to you. Invite me in. It takes an invitation, but I can do a miracle in your life. Merry Christmas, because you can see him too.